Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hi, this is Marcia, Dr. Cappuccino, coming at you with the Global Vision for Living Today show. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. You know, there's a lot going out there in the world, and people are saying, well, where do we go from here? We're just begging and seeking to live for the sake of others, but we don't know how. What is our next step? Well, guess what? You're going to hear some of the answers and solutions to those questions. But before we get started, you know, there's a scripture that says, you know, without vision, the people perish. And a lot of people are perishing. Craziness is as crazy does. And no nation, country, kingdom, or any kind of other operations controlling men or women have ever succeeded for the good of all. So we're going to hear some solution-based conversations going on this morning for Manziel and the final stand for man. Colonel Dr. Harrison usually joins us every Saturday, so I'm hoping that he's going to be on the show, but you're here, and that is what matters. I mentioned earlier, seconds ago, where do we go from here? People are still marching. They're still killing cops. People across America are still going in and out of stores looting. People are still wondering, when is it going to end? Do it end with me? Am I going to be alive next week? No. Instead, am I going to be alive tonight? So I know you have gotten on this broadcast show for some answers, and here we are to bring them to you. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Dr. Cappuccino. Listener audience, good morning to you. I am with you. And thanks again. I'm always willing to participate in this great, great show.
Well, we need you to participate in a whole lot of shows because basically there's been a crisis within the last 90 days. This racial injustice has engulfed even international borders. But here in the United States of America, people are saying we were, as black people, which is the nucleus of what's going on today, were brought here, they were penalized, they were made to be slaves, they were whipped, lynched. Every evil known to man and to Satan, they claim, has been done. And we understand from the history books a little bit about what's going on, but you can't always trust the books. If you weren't alive then, you don't know anything. You know what you have read. You know what has been handed down on scraps of paper. But if you weren't there, you really don't know. But right now, based on what we do know, things have changed for not only the black man, but for white, Asian, you name it. Any person living and walking on the face of this globe has been affected by the problems that have engulfed America. Colonel Harrison, what do you think is really at the root of a lot of problems that are popping up in America today?
We have turned away from our foundation, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. The foundation is that this country, you go back, it's about 200-some years old, about 240 years of age, and it goes back to the principles of the founding fathers that this country was built upon Judeo-Christian principles, which was the foundation that the original 13 colonies form the 13 states. They broke away from England, and those who know the story should know that. Anytime, let me say it this way. So we broke away from the Christian foundation, and as a result, we have the trials and tribulation, we have the variables, we have sin, we have crime, we have the drug epidemic, we have the pandemic, all those things. Let me say this. If a building, the first thing a contractor does, he gets schematics from an architect. Long story short, Then he got the schematics. He gets the owner of the builder to agree to the plan. The contractor builds a foundation. He pours a concrete cement foundation with some steel bars and it's called wrought iron. And that anchors that cement. And so when they start building the rafters and they start building the wood and other structures and running it from that cement foundation, that the building will be able to stand, whether it's as tall as the Empire State Building or as small as a community church house. That the building and the walls will be able to stand. Without a solid foundation, nothing can stand. And so the human race is floundering now because our foundation has been damaged. Our foundation has been disrupted, which is the Christian foundation.
Oh, my God, that is so scary. Oh, my goodness. Now, you mentioned the founding fathers, which I believe the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and other laws of edict was developed for a new nation, a new country to be called the United States of America, starting with the colonies. Now, you have touched on something. You said founding fathers' religion, Christian edict. You know, there's a movement going on saying that the Bible should be tossed out and burned, because it was written by the white man. It's a strong movement. I mean, it's scary. They're saying, well, we're going to tear down Confederate statues, then we're going to do away with the Bible because it's a racist book. It's a biased book. People are livid. I don't know where this thing is going to end up, but as a minister, and with the comments that you just made about the foundation of America, how do you think that's going to pan out?
Dr. Capitino, listening audience, if these uninformed people were to burn every available Bible they could gain access into the United States of America, they still cannot destroy the foundation of Christian religion, because it was built upon an invisible foundation that comes from an invisible God. Whatever you want to call him, Allah, you call him God, you call him Jehovah, you call him the Great Hope, whatever the natives call him, whatever you want to call him. Go back. People need to go back and understand that the Bible was originally, long story short, written in Greek, because the Greeks were in charge of the world longer than any other particular race or country. And it was translated to English around 1611. The King James Version came forth. So the fact that it was written by a white man, it's not true. It was not written by a white man. It was written by holy men in the Old Testament of different creeds, different families, different, I don't want to say races, because the Bible doesn't make mention the race. It makes mention the Jew or Gentile.
Right.
People that were chosen to write the Bible. So it was not written by the European white man. It was not written by no devil. It was written by men of in the Old Testament that was inspired by God through the Holy Spirit to write. Some were Jew, some were Greek. Amen. That's what happened. So the uninformed, they need to check the history out.
Well, it appears that there's a lot of biblical and scriptural illiterates out there that are swearing that the Bible as we know it was translated by the white man. The ancient scrolls was translated into that 1638 version of King James, and they said King James wasn't no good. Well, who is good? He was no good. He was a whoremonger, and he didn't treat his servants right. And this movement has gained traction, and people are fighting in their boots, wondering, How could the Bible get slammed down into this racist problem now, traveling through America on a skateboard? How could it have even been spoken of in such a way as to have people say, you know what, I don't read it no more. I knew it was no good. I knew it was not the inspired word of anyone. These fools standing up there every Sunday talking about the Bible, well, they won't be doing it for long because it was written under the charge of the white man, and it's racist. Oh, my God. Now, you're a pastor. You're in your pulpit every week. What do you think about that?
The great educator, 18th century educator, Booker T. Washington, once said, the enemy is ignorance and inequality. The enemy is ignorance and inequality. There's a scripture in the Bible, in the Psalms, Psalm 14, that says, a fool saith in his heart, there's no God. I have done my research, I've done my study, and I've done my homework. I've gone back and I've researched everything I need to research to satisfy myself, to educate and inform myself, to give me a sense of comfort, to understand the principles of Christianity and whether Christianity resists, how it came about, and the components that are involved and so forth, and including the 66 books. And not only that, the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Bible and the Hebrew version of the Bible, and even some aspects of the Quran that the Muslim brothers and sisters study. So I've educated myself to understand, and I'm convinced if they burn everyone, I have it in my heart. I have the word in my head. I have it in my heart. So it's foolishness. It's misinformation. And if you follow a fool, you will get a fool's advice. And that's what's happening in the world today. And that's why the country is so confused and messed up. Mixed messaging.
Well, yeah, and the fake news and false news, because they're saying this is why the black man is in trouble today, because he's been sitting around like a fool following a fake book, a false book written by white racists, and that's why he ain't nothing today. That's why he's running amok in the world, really, today, because he has been misled by the book. At this point, do you think there's going to be a turnaround? Because everything that's been going on out there, I mean, it has really made a mess out of America. And one particular group that's behind it all has taken in over $200 million. So, you know, they say down south and up here west that money talks. And it doesn't have to have a tongue. So if this is what is going on, there's going to be some brainwashed African Americans that are really going to say, you know what, I never thought of that. That's right. That book show was written by them. It wasn't a black man that wrote it. And they were all slaves back there to King James. So here we go. How much traction do you think this ignorance is going to get?
I think there are enough informed people that are aware that they won't buy into this ignorance, because if the majority of the people in America, regardless of what race and nationality, buy into the ignorance about the Bible being written by a white man and all this kind of foolishness, then America truly is going to fall. America is floundering now. There are nations abroad waiting for America to fall. America new nation built upon holy precepts, concepts, and traditions that are godly, that are God-inspired and spiritually filled. And so America will stand, because I believe there's enough people that believe in the true and living God. And so we got to believe that there's something greater than man. And there is. A man, woman, a child, sometimes they miss the mark. They uninformed. It depends on how I feel, what I say, and what I do. The same with other people. But God is always the same. The Bible says God and Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. He changes not. We change just like the weather. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. People got to seek for knowledge. They got to seek the truth, and they will find the truth, and they will find him when they seek him. That's what we need. America fall because it turned away from God.
I too. Now, if they start looking out, if they start seeking this God, what do you think that's going to have? What type of impact on these people climbing all throughout America, still hell-bent on destroying America, destroying statues, destroying church buildings, destroying their grocery stores, destroying everything in sight, even hospitals? Someone tried to burn down a group of some funeral homes. I mean, where do you think this is going if this feeling and conversation that's cloaked in certain circles about the Bible coming out of the pulpit and anybody standing up in them with an open Bible is subject to harm? Where do you think this is going?
It's virtually and humanly impossible to have an encounter with the true and living God, who is an invisible spirit, invisible infinite being, and not be changed. God brings about a change. He brings love into our heart, compassion, goodness, truth into our hearts. And as a result of being transformed, our minds are transformed, our hearts are transformed. And when the love comes in, then we have love for our fellow man, love for our fellow woman, love for our neighbors, love for our children. And then it brings about unity, togetherness. It brings us together as one. And I don't see my fellow brother or sister as being white or being black or being Asian or being Hispanic. I see them as a fellow human being that's been created by an infinite being that's far greater than man and always will be. So America's going to survive. The question is, those who don't believe there is a God, will they repent and survive? If they don't repent, then they will not survive. So said the book. Read the book, 66. Read the Septuagint. Read the Hebrew version of the Bible. Read the Quran.
Well, I don't know about the Quran, exactly what it says in it, but I'm going to stick on this 16th century book called the Bible that King James commissioned. Let's just say that this so-called chatter ends up becoming part of this movement, this racist movement, this movement against racism, assumed, presumed racism. Where do you think that's going to lead people that have been talking about God, the Christian God through the Bible, and talking about some of the edicts in it, what it says, talking about prophecy that has happened to come true and then those that are to come? Where do you think that's going to lead the, let's just say, the black church? Let's leave the white church out of this because, you know, they have their own agenda too, but where is it going to lead the black man? Now, the scripture says there's going to come a day where the prophet said, "How are you shepherds? All of you shepherds running in the middle of the highway." How? The Bible predicts a time when ministers, it didn't say Christian in there, but they're going to be running from their own churches. Do you think this is part of that prophecy? Do you think this is really actually going to happen? And I'm asking you this because you're part of a speaker team that's going to be speaking August 27th, 28th, and 29th here in the state of California regarding the future of the black man in America. Does he have one? Does he deserve one? Does he need one? Has he shown by his current actions that he's worthy of a future? You're going to be part of a group that's going to be exploring 3 days worth of topics that has to do with what's happened to the black man, what's happening now, today, 2020, and then where is he going after that point? Where is his children going, his grandchildren going? Is anything worth living for going to still be worth living for after the fact? You are part of that group of individual speakers that will be bringing forth a lot of wisdom at that time. Do you think there's going to be anything said that is going to act as a turnaround for a lot of the ignorance now and what is to come, especially regarding the Bible?
Absolutely. To move forward, we have to look at where people come from, whether it's the black race or whatever race. Going back briefly to 1865, when the Emancipation Proclamation signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1862, the last slaves were freed in Brownsville, Texas, 1865. From that point on, black slaves started seeking their way, and they found their way, and they found a way to live. It was based on principles taught in the Bible that was taught in the church, the house church, and then they built the separate detached church. And the principles of the church sustained the people that were supposed to perish because they stood on the word of God. So from 1865 to where we are today, over 400 and some years, and the word of God has stood before then, long before then, from time and eternity. Can't even go back and count the time. But the point I'm trying to make is that the black race can make it. The black man can make it. Hispanic man, the red man, which is the Indian and specific Islanders and Europeans, so-called white brothers and sisters. Everyone can make, there's room at the table for everyone. There's room for everyone to do well in this nation, but we got to become as one again. And the centipede that keeps us together is the church, the foundation of the church. That's the only thing. Politicians can't keep us together. We can't keep each other together because we're different in points of views and philosophy. But the word of God can anchor us, and we can find common ground, and we can find solace in the word of God, where we can unify and we can come together and we can love and we can help each other, and we can help raise our children in a community where it's safe. So we have turned away from the element. So God is the centipede and through the church. So if they're preachers, not preaching the true word of God, they'll be cast out. Those who preach the true word of God, they will be empowered and anointed to preach even more, to unify and bring people together. So that's what we need, and not turn away, but to turn back and run to and seek him and find him and embrace him and his words, so that we can live as one and live a prosperous life and a healthy and safe and a good quality life in this country.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, I think from listening to you, that's certainly going to become a reality some way, somehow. But let me kind of backtrack here. Okay, the first slaves appeared here on the U.S. shores back toward, where, you know, in the 13 colony area. That was 1629 or something like that. And then you have the actual King James Version of the Bible also. Within that same, I would say, within a couple of decades. So do you think there's a correlation to the black slaves, you know, they're coming here? Now, they couldn't read or write, but over across the shores, British shores, here comes a Bible, commissioned Bible, 16 whatever, same year now. Do you think there's a correlation between the Bible and the actual slaves appearing in America? Some says it is, but then I have to say, you know, that they could not read or write. It was probably 200 years before they actually was able to read, because, you know, some of the white women taught black slaves how to read, and, you know, almost at the pain of death. What is your feeling on that? Because if that's the case, they probably didn't have a copy of the Bible or anything to actually read until way into slavery, maybe 100 to 150, 200 years later. What's your take on that?
King James, yes, there's correlation, Dr. Capitino. Let's know. 1611 King James Version of the Bible came, and then the first settlers came to America in 1619. After that, there's a correlation, and the correlation is, and even though when the slaves were freed, they, even when they were in bondage, they were in slave bondage, they got among themselves. Somehow they were inspired by the Spirit from on high. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. They could not read, but they could see, and they could hear, and they could retain things. They were not ignorant people. They were smart people, and so they relied on their sight, the sense of sight and the sense of hearing, to learn and adapt and adjust to things. And so that's how they learned the aspects of the Bible. And that's how the earlier preachers that were slaves were ministering to them, learned to preach the word, because he overheard the master, overheard the head of the house talking about scriptures, and he was able to retain that and pass it on. So people can pass on things that they hear. Yes, there's a correlation between King James 1611 and the first ship to land in Virginia in 1619. There's a correlation, and the people were inspired because they were given other gifts, and they were able to retain what they heard, and they were able to practice what they heard, and they applied it to their individual lives. And so when they were free from slavery, they were able to be given a parcel of land, some of them, and move on and build wooden structures on it and raise a family, work the land, crops, and so forth and so on, and kept the word of God in their heart and passed it on to others, and they prospered based on having the word, hearing the word of God, having it in the heart and passing it on to others and practicing it themselves. So it doesn't take education. It takes a will and it takes a desire.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. You know what? I'm getting chills because, you know, I'm thinking about this too. You know, if they were brought here, what kind of religion did they have? What kind of book were they reading, if any, pre-slavery? Wherever they came from, shores of Africa, different contexts of Africa, what were they doing there? Were they reading anything there? They couldn't read or write English. I mean, so here they came. Here they came. So are you saying that perhaps some kind of religion, pre-Christian religion, that was probably floating around, that they partook of that? This is very interesting. What were they studying? What spirit was guiding them over in Africa before they actually hit the U.S. shores? Wow, that's very interesting.
My research, my studies revealed that they did have some aspect of a religious countenance about them. Yes, there was voodoo that existed in some of the tribes, but they did have religious principles, religious countenance, religious values that they were inspired by, and they took those and they incorporated with what they heard from the owners of the plantation, who they called the masters and so forth, and they incorporated that with their religion, and they were able to strengthen themselves. They were able to strengthen themselves, and they held on to those tenets and those values and those principles, a foundation of religion that they had learned, and they practiced them, and they found that if they did certain things that they heard, that they learned that was spiritual, that they could plant the crop a certain time of the year, that there's a seed time and there's a harvest, and they plant the seeds a certain time of the year, they reap the harvest another time of the year, and they started doing that, and they started coming together and worshiping and praying, and they could pray for rain, and they found that God gave them favor, and so they were people that just believed, and they were transformed, and thus out of that comes the modern day Afro-American male, female, and children.
Wow, this is a topic, oh my God, for another conversation, because I don't believe most of our youth, most of our teenagers, black and white, really don't understand the actual tenets of how the African-American or the black race even originated, and how they were able to move forward with limited knowledge. But as you're saying, hey, they had spirit of God, they had the spirit from the other world lead and guide, and of course keep them on what was known then as the straight and narrow. That's very interesting. Thank you so much for that. Now our listening audience, you have an opportunity to join not only Dr. Colonel William Harrison, but other speakers as well, for the conference, what I'm going to call the conference of the year. What is the future of the black man? He may have money in the bank today, may be laying in a hospital tomorrow, but what is his future, his generational future? Many say there is not going to be a black race. They're intermarrying. You really can't identify true black. Some in the African nation say there's no black Americans over here. They're not of us. I mean, you can hear a lot more about the future of the black man in America and worldwide, August 27th, 28th, and 29th, right here in California in the city of Torrance, at the Torrance Conference Center in the heart of what we call South Bay. If you're interested, you can email mothernature7@gmail.com and get an actual invitation email to you, or you can just Google. I understand Google has it at the top of their site. What is the future of the black man in America? And you can be a part of that. Anything you're going to be a part of concerning the black man, you are going to help ensure his future. And that's what this conference is all about. Dr. Harrison is going to be one of the keynotes, and he's also going to be one of the speakers on both days at the conference. So, hey, just know you've heard it here on the Global Vision for Living Today radio talk show. In closing, I want to mention that Harrison will also have a book that will be signed right there at the conference, and what is the solution to civil unrest, and there certainly is that. I've seen civil unrest banners going up all across our city. Mark Willie Thomas was standing below one that talked about civil unrest in America. Colonel Harrison started it all. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Dr. Harrison, for being with us. And tune in. Be sure and tune in next week. I know I didn't call for any questions or answers, and I've been seeing people coming and going, you know, on the show. Thank you for supporting us in your own way. And again, have a great weekend. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today Blog Talk Radio Show.